This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
We're excited as we start a new year to get a fresh start. And that's the title of our program today, A Fresh Start. We've got a wonderful group of two guests here, Donna Gibbs, who's the director of a Clear Word Counseling Center here in town in Hendersonville. Donna, thank you for joining us. Your ministry with the Counseling Center has touched so many lives, and it's an excellent center. I highly recommend this. If any of you have need for counseling, listening to this program, you may find you have areas where you could use a little touching up and strengthening in your own soul and spirit. A Clear Word Counseling Center is a wonderful place to go. I highly recommend them. Mark Honeycutt is with us also. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Pastor.
And Mark is the associate pastor. There are a number of associates at Mud Creek Baptist Church, a great church with a great team. And Mark, we're really grateful to God that you could join us. Mark has come through an incredible journey starting this last summer with cancer, and it really goes earlier in his life. You'll hear more of his story, but many of you have your own stories. You're dealing with issues in life, with struggles, with challenges, and our program is meant to encourage you today to take your place of darkness and doubt and give you hope and a sense of a bright future. So we call this a fresh start. You know, as we come into the new year, people love to make their New Year's resolutions and make promises of all the great things they'll do. You know, well, sometimes we come to the end of our rope and say, I don't know that I can do anything. And then God steps in, saying, I've just been waiting for you to trust me. And that's kind of our focus here, a fresh start with the help of God. So, Donna, you see a lot of people, and you know a lot of the needs out there because they come right into you. You're living this day after day.
Mm-hmm.
Just to start us off, if you could give a simple word of encouragement to people right now who are listening and feeling that they need a fresh start, what might you say to them?
One of the, I guess, profound thoughts as I was praying about this morning is I felt God speaking, we are not our trial. We are not our struggle.
Hmm.
Mark is not cancer.
Hmm.
That is a trial that he's enduring right now. But our identity is much more consistent than the seasons and struggles of life that we encounter. So whatever it is that some of the listeners may be encountering, it may be struggle in their family, a broken relationship. It could be depression. It could be cancer. It could be a variety of things, an addiction. That is not who they are. If they know the Lord Jesus, if they have a relationship with Him, then who they are is a child of the King, and that is a consistent truth. Those seasons of life do come and go, and they're very difficult when they come. But if we can discredit them enough to see that ongoing consistent truth, there's a lot of healing and hope in that.
Don, I love the title given to your counseling center, A Clear Word. It makes me think of Scripture and how we grow up as children and we get these messages in our heads. Sometimes you can blame our parents, but really, ultimately, we have ability, opportunity, and responsibility to accept what God's Word says about
mm-hmm.
us. Do you find
mm-hmm.
that happens a lot? People have these message tapes going in their minds that you are bad, you know, and the reality is maybe there was bad behavior. We all get into that, but we're not bad. In God's sight, we're loved, we're as righteous as Christ himself. Do you find we deal with that as humans a lot?
I think that believing lies is a foundation of a lot of struggles that we have, whether it be just self-esteem, self-concept, or even some of the other types of struggles that we have. Believing a lie is the bottom of that. And so that's actually related to why we called it A Clear Word, because it is based on simple truth that can be applied to most any situation we encounter.
Mm-hmm. So you're listening right now and you're thinking, who am I really? I just want to encourage you. We hope that as you get through this hour, you're going to see more and more how much you are loved by God and you do have a hope in a bright future.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, you've really come through some challenges. We want you to unpack a little bit of what you're going through now and how it started. And then we're going to lead into this, answer this question. Did you at times feel without hope in despair? Is, you know, has God let me down? You know, did questions like that come into your mind? But tell us some of your story. What, how this cancer form? What's going on with you?
Well, number one, Pastor Bill, thank you for the opportunity to share, and thank you for what you got, what you guys do at First Pres, and just a great congregation there through Christmas and Operation Christmas Child, and it's exciting. And I second what he said about Don and the counseling center, that you know, we'll give some information about a number, but it's absolutely amazing what goes on and just the safe place that you can go and talk.
Let's throw that number right now, since we, what's a contact number if someone wants to?
It is area code 828-692-6383, and our website is www.clearwordcounseling.org.
If you missed all that, just Google a Clear Word Counseling Center, Hendersonville. You'll come right into it.
It'll be easy to find.
Or mudcreekchurch.org.
Yeah, and that'll get you to it. Mm-hmm. Just call Mud Creek.
Unpacking, just this last July, we were really busy, my wife and I, in ministry, and Mud Creek, we have a pastor that just desires to bring glory to God and honor Him and grow His kingdom, reaching one more. And so we're busy in that. This past summer, we were involved with some mission opportunities, and actually we're in Africa when we I called the doctor and got the diagnosis. I had a biopsy, a surgical biopsy, about 3 days before we left for Africa. And so didn't get the results until we were in Africa, that it was confirmed that it was male breast cancer. And so it's been a journey. It's been a journey through, you know, I'm in the valley right now, going through the valley. As Psalms 23 says, there is a shadow. So that does bring a lot of hopelessness. I have felt hopeless at times, just to be honest with you. But that's when I get my perspective wrong and take my eyes off the sun that creates the shadow. To have a shadow, you have to have a sun.
I love it.
And so, you know, we want to look to God, and I want to make sure that I'm asking what, you know, what can God do through me? What can I do in this situation, instead of kind of why this is happening, what's going on? You know, a fresh start. 1 in 4 people are diagnosed with cancer. So I know I'm talking to a lot of people that have been diagnosed or will be diagnosed.
And you can say over 90% at least have a close family member or friend who's diagnosed, and they're suffering indirectly that way too.
Right. So, you know, we could debate for days about the why, you know, what's why cancer, but the what we can do, you know, who we can look to get through that valley is kind of the right questions to ask.
And you mentioned before we went on the air that this could arise as a recurrence because of earlier, as a youth, you had leukemia.
Yeah, 2 weeks before I graduated high school, I was diagnosed with leukemia. So this is kind of my second travel through this valley. I will say I'm handling it a whole lot better this time than I did when I was 18 years old. Through just and, you know, and I'll say to people that are listening, you know, you will face another trial. You're either going into a trial. In a trial or coming out of a trial. And so, you know, if you're coming out of depression or out of an addiction, there's something, you know, this world's not our home, and it's not easy. Life's not easy. Fresh starts are not easy. And so, you know, we've got to understand that, and you should learn some things through the valley that you went through before, and God's teaching you those to get you equipped for the next time you go through that or go through some kind of trial.
I love the image you gave us of a shadow. We all get under the shadow, don't we? It might be for us despair or doubt, confusion. It could be just a heaviness we can't understand.
Right.
A fear, anxiety. We all deal with it. If you're listening and you want to talk about your shadow or your breakthrough, the hope you have, if you want to encourage someone else, if you want to ask a question of these two guests, anything at all, you feel free to call in 693-WHKP. We're talking about a fresh start as we launch, just about to launch into the new year, New Year's Eve tonight. Mark, and so if you don't mind, I want to push a little further, as I was starting to do a minute ago, and ask you if you came to a place, either maybe at age 18 or this with a second bout of cancer, of questioning God and saying, why me? And just really having that shadow come over your life.
I've questioned him this morning. I'm on my seventh treatment, a chemo treatment of 8 treatments in a 16-week process, and the fatigue's catching up with me. And if you know me at all, I'm a type A personality and, you know, like to be involved in a lot of things and just kind of go in and you literally just can't do it. So it's kind of like, you know, okay, God, you know, why this period of rest? Why this period of inactivity? So, yeah, you know, and then, you know, cancer again. And then, you know, and I know if my wife's listening, she's going to laugh, but then male breast cancer, you know, like, really, God? You know, you know, so, yeah, I mean, and, you know, I've been mad, I've been sad, but this has been some of the most joyous times in my life, too.
Mm.
And so it's, you know, you really get a perspective, and friendships are deeper. Love is more intimate. It's just an incredible place to be. I had a college girl, I don't think she would mind me using her name, Kristen, that just come up with tears in her eyes and said, if I could take a treatment for you, I would do it.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't know if I'd let her because of what God's showing and what God's revealing, you know,
wow,
through that trial.
That's powerful.
But, yeah, I do question. When I was a teenager, I got mad, beat the pillow, snotted, you know, got cried so hard. I don't know if you've ever done that or not, but had plans for my life. I accepted Christ as a younger child, but kind of had it laid out, and God said, no, I've got a different plan. Mm. But now I look back and say, well, what if I'd have got what I wanted, and it would not have been, you know, God's best for my life. And so there again, I got to trust him. He's in control. I'm not in control. I love to try to be in control, but he is. And so that's kind of a fresh start. New Year's to me is, I've never been a big resolution guy, you know, biblically. You see Paul every day is New Year's. He's dying to himself every single day, having a fresh start. And so that's what we have to do.
Mm. Amen. Donna's Marka was sharing about the asking questions why, and maybe even getting angry at God, especially with this first round as a teenager. What do you have to say about this? Some of us are facing things and we feel it's sinful to question God and to ask questions about why and get mad at God. Is it sinful or maybe sometimes helpful?
I think it's just a part of the process. As Mark has gone through some things, he grieves. You know, he had dreams and plans of mission trips, some of which he's already missed.
Mm.
And so you grieve those, and being angry and being distraught, questioning, that's a part of a grief process. I think it's a normal. We have flesh. We aren't God. We can't understand things at the level that he does, and this is how we cope with things. But that's also why I so appreciate Mark's transparency, because this is how we deal with seasons that are difficult in our life. If we are human, we're going to have some negative emotions. That is just a reality. If we're in tune at all with what we're going through, it's not always going to be pretty. We're going to have some ugly moments and some ugly times in there. That's normal. It's a normal part of the process. What I encourage people is to lean into that.
Mm.
We are, as church people, we're so comfortable with those happy emotions. We put on that church face and smile, and everything's wonderful. The negative emotions are a little more challenging for us to deal with. Mm. So I encourage people to lean into it. And I think that's what Mark does. It also means you don't stay there as long.
Right.
You don't stay in that hopeless place as long, because you lean into it and you seek the Lord and you cry out to him.
Mm.
And then you have the opportunity to hear something back.
You lean into it and you find out there's someone there holding you up, don't you?
Absolutely.
We tend to think of grief either not at all, we avoid it as a culture, or we get into the studies of psychiatrists who tell us maybe about stages of grief and the like. But you're simply saying, I love this. Lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't run from it. This is what God's given you right now. Grow through it.
And it's not as organized as stages of grief. Anything that we go through that's a struggle, it's not nearly that organized.
Uh-huh.
It's just a mess, generally.
Uh-huh. Start checking it off.
So if you're listening, you say, I'm just a mess. Well, you're just
joining.
Yes. Stay with us here, because we're all a mess, aren't we?
Yes.
In a sense, without the help of God.
And biblically, grief, if you do a study of grief, it's anytime there's grief, it's big. It's not a, you know, Jesus with Lazarus, he grieved big, and we're designed to grieve. When we grieve, to grieve big, but to grieve healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the common denominators that I would say with everyone is don't do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my wife has, you know, if I would say somebody said, what I, you know, what I need if I go through cancer, you need a Cheryl,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is my wife, which, but you may not have a spouse, but you may have a Sunday school class or a small group or someone you can call. And there's even, you know, with American Cancer Society, there's support groups and forums that are set up. You know, don't go through grief by yourself. You can't. You're not designed to go through it by yourself. And so have someone that will help you hold on to hope. And that's, you know, when I start kind of slipping just a little bit, you know, I can rely on my own Cheryl, so, and other friends too, just numerous other people, but mainly, you know, her. She just kind of helps me hold on to the hope. And she knows me. She knows when I start to go and start to slip a little bit, and you know, she'll say something or we'll do something or she'll encourage me in some way. And God has those people for you that are already designed as you enter that valley. He's given those still waters. Mm-hmm. I've just been in Psalm 23, like, just meditating like crazy on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he leads us beside the still waters, and the shepherd would go ahead and he would create in a river, he'd create an eddy, he'd put rocks or a dam to create that still water because of the dumb sheep with my shepherd. But the shepherd would build an eddy, and the sheep would walk out into the water if there wasn't an eddy built and get washed away. And you're looking at this trial, and if you try to go through it without that eddy, without that still spot, you're going to get washed away. So people in your life, they can lay those eddies. And I would encourage people listening that are caregivers or you know someone, they can't get enough phone calls. They can't get enough cards.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to leave them alone. I'm going to bother them.
Right.
Because I can't, especially at night, and, you know, it just kind of gets hopeless. For me, it did. And you know, you'd go through problems sleeping, and that text message would come at 7 o'clock in the morning with a scripture verse, which would build that still water, which is just amazing. This, the drink and be able to get through and be refreshed. It was just absolutely incredible.
I'm picturing two kinds of people listening. Some who are grieving and they know it, but within that category, there's some who don't have that eddy. They don't have friends. They don't have support. Let's talk for a minute to encourage them. I'll start off throwing this out, that you can call pretty much any church and there will be groups. You know, our church has a grief share. It's a group to help if you've lost a spouse. Well, Mud Creek, as you know, listening in, they have the Clear Word, and they've got a lot of support groups at Mud Creek.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much any church you can call, you can look in a paper or an internet and find grief support groups of all kinds to fit your need. Party Hospital System has some and so forth. Do you want to add some to that, you two? For those who are looking for...
Yeah, I think that's a pretty thorough list.
Okay.
I know I'm obviously more familiar with what is offered at Mud Creek, and that's a variety of things, whether it be a grief share or a group that's going to be offered for married couples who need a fresh start, an intensive for them. We have a cancer support group. There's a long list. They can go to our website, and it probably would be the same for most of the churches in the area. If you go to a website, do some research, you can find a place to connect with others. And as the body of Christ, that is so important. Like Mark mentioned earlier, we're either in a trial or we're going to be going into one, or we've just come out of one. So if you're not in one, then as the body of Christ, you can be there to minister and give hope and encouragement. And if you are in a trial, then you can be fed. That's why those groups are so powerful in the healing. They're biblical.
Yeah.
And just your friends, you've got to build a group of people that you can be transparent and be honest with. And if you're acting, that's hard. You're already tired enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you put on a mask and you have to act,
you'll run out of energy.
Oh, it's absolutely. You know, so I, you know, again in Psalms 23, the whirlpools are the Russian River. You have my permission as a pastor, if you have negative, you know, people that suck energy out of your life, you can, for the next several days, just avoid them completely. I give you permission to do that. And there are people out there like that. It's all about them. It's all focused on them. And it makes them really uncomfortable that you're in a car wreck or that your son died or, you know, And those are not the people that are going to kind of help you hold on to hope. So you just got to kind of chalk that up and find some people that are, and really latch onto those people. And you may be shocked at who those people are and who those people are not. It's it's really been a revealing thing through other people's lives and through my own life. I didn't choose my medical team. I didn't choose my support team. God kind of arranged that and did that. And it's been absolutely just a great journey in that way.
So what you're saying, Mark, is some people listening would say, yeah, I know there are a lot of groups out there. I just don't feel comfortable reaching out to one. And you're saying just open your heart to everyone around you, and you're going to find that group.
Right.
The people whose hearts are also open are going to come around you and support you, but you've got to start in here. You've got to start with yourself.
Right, and being open about it, and open and transparent about it.
One of the struggles that a lot of people have when they're going through a season is that they're isolated. Mm. If we're depressed, that goes along with being depressed. We're isolated. We may be in the house with the blinds pulled, and we have no contact with others outside of possibly through the internet. And I encourage people, if you're in that place and you're isolated, excuse me, don't wait until you feel like it. You won't get there. You have to take some steps. Take a stretch. Connect with some people. And know that the emotions are going to come afterward, that you will receive a blessing through that. But it just feels a little overwhelming at first.
Yeah. And it's a good thing, isn't it, to stretch like that, to reach out. We're going to take just a one-minute break. And when we come back, we're going to look at the second category in my mind of people. And I'm going to segue into that by making a confession about an area where I've really failed and had to learn about grieving. So we'll come right back in just a minute.
Have you ever wanted to read the entire Bible from cover to cover? Most Christians have, and you may even be among those who have attempted it. Yet only 10% of Christians have ever read the entire Bible. B90, or Bible in 90 Days, is a Bible reading program that can help you achieve this important goal for your life and for your spiritual development. By reading only 12 pages a day, you and your friends, your Bible study group, or even your entire church can read the Bible in 90 days. To find out more about B90, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com and click on B90. Bible in 90 days. Read every word that God has spoken and shared with humanity. Check it out. That's B90 at scriptureawakening.com.
This is Bill Campbell with our topic today, a fresh start as we're about to enter the new year. We have with us Donna Gibbs, director of a Clear Word Counseling Center, and Mark Honeycutt, associate pastor with Mud Creek Baptist Church. And as we think about a fresh start, we were talking some about this whole concept of dealing with difficulties through grief and how many times people know they're experiencing grief but don't know what to do with it. And we got into that a little bit, and I said I would bring up a confession about another category of people, and any of us can fall into this trap. So ask yourself as I share now this confession whether this also relates in some manner to your life. Some years ago, as I was in a ministry traveling and speaking, my son was born, and we found out over time that he was born deaf. And I didn't realize I was grieving a loss because I expected, you know, that he would be hearing. And I didn't realize this. And it was coming out all over the place, you could say. And it's interesting how, as I was traveling with a young family starting to grow, I realized I needed to stop traveling and take a church, but I didn't want to take a church because I had to deal with people's grief. And here's a symptom. If you're not dealing with your own grief, one way to find out is you'll be running from other people's grief. Instead of going to the hospital, see that friend, you'll in your heart you don't want to deal with it because you've got your own stuff you're carrying. That was me. And so then I had people calling me saying, look, we're deaf and we lost a loved one, come to the funeral. I'd say, are you kidding me? I don't do that stuff. That's grief, you know? And they'd say, you've got to. You're the only one we know who's a pastor who can do sign language. You've got to come. I'd hang up. They'd call back. You've got to. I finally gave in. And I came into a funeral parlor and found these people, deaf adults, that loved me like like their own son. And it changed everything. I realized when people are grieving, their hearts are open in a very deep level. And it's like we became family. It opened a ministry for me. It opened the doors of my heart to the pastorate. And now in a church in this retirement community, I do a lot of funerals. And I love every one of them. Because grief is part of life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the second category. Do you somehow relate to this? And Don, I'm going to start with you now as a counselor. What happens when we hide our grief, run from our grief, stuff it inside? What does that do? Is that good? Is it? Can we get away with it?
As you found, grief will wait on you. So you might be stuffing it, but really not. You know, it will wait on you. Interestingly, I read a great book I would recommend. It's written by a Christian physician. Sorry, I don't remember his name. But the name of the book is called Deadly Emotions. Mm-hmm. And it discusses those unresolved griefs that we're just trying to run from and how it even has an impact on our physical well-being.
Wow.
But it also has an impact on our emotional well-being. We can only run for so long, and it becomes very exhausting. It will come out in other ways. It may come out in irritability. It could come out in some desire to medicate that or continue stuffing it down through an addiction or through a relationship that's not healthy, but it just is a Band-Aid, something to soothe, something to postpone, really the inevitable. And when I hear you talk about that, one of the things I think of is so many conversations I've had with people who are at that place, and they are so afraid that if they look at whatever that struggle is, they're going to go insane, that I will start crying and it'll never stop. My life will never be the same again. I will lose control. Hmm. It's actually the exact opposite of that. It was like you got your life after you looked at your situation. But it's our flesh. It's our fear that manipulates us, I suppose.
Mark, tell us some about how you've experienced grieving. Give us maybe a tip or just a personal sense.
One-word talk. Especially if you're a man, and you've got to talk to people, and you can't be the, you know, especially as a pastor, you're not supposed to be the one that has cancer. You're supposed to be the one that's ministering to people with cancer. So I knew what to say to someone diagnosed. I knew what to say to someone that was, you know, struggling or on their deathbed. I just didn't know when I was the one that was struggling or with the prognosis of, you know, invasive carcinoma, you know, breast cancer or, you know, history of cancer in my life. So just talk. And you don't have to be right. You don't have to be wrong. You just have to be able to talk. And I think that talking helps with the grief. I think you need to talk to God. And like we've already discussed, be honest with God. Be open with God. He can handle any doubt, any frustration that you have. He's handled it before. He'll handle it through this. But, you know, rest in Him and talk with Him. You know, some people deal with grief in different ways, but, you know, what's the game plan? What can I do? What can I research? I will caution you with the Internet. You know, be careful where you get your advice from. That's a biblical point, you know, too. Mm-hmm. And there's several good resources out there, and a counselor or a pastor can point you that way. But there's also several bad, you know, things that you can get involved with too, you know, as you try to deal with grief. So my number one advice is just be open up and talk about it and just, you know, get it out there. I've been to Donna for things besides cancer, and, you know, just being able to talk, people that are gifted, like she's gifted, are able to put their finger on something and you're like, oh, you know, okay, you know, Eureka, got it. Then I know the steps that I need to be able to deal with to kind of come out of that situation.
If you don't mind, I want to come back to the bad things you find in the Internet, because they're also in the world around us. What is the Internet but an easy connection to the whole world? One thing I can imagine we find is I'm sorry to be so direct, but an Eastern spirituality.
Right.
Where you can find peace just, you know, just say this prayer to this anonymous something God, and how does the Christian message give you hope? I'm not trying to knock other religions right now, but I want to point people toward the light that I've experienced through Jesus Christ, and I need your help, Mark. What? Tell us a word about what is good.
The hope is not a thing or a path. The hope is a person. It's Jesus. And when I start to question or someone, you know, messages me on Facebook or they pull me aside and they say, why would you get cancer? I want to be very clear. I deserve death. That's what I deserve. I don't only deserve death. I deserve separation from God in hell. That's what I deserve. Grace, God through Jesus, gave me life and gave me a relationship with Him. Heaven is my home. Jesus is my hope. He's going to get me through this valley. So, I would say, you know, I said daily, but every hour with that perspective, you know, God, I die to myself. It's not about me. If it's about me, I'm going to be happy on Christmas and my birthday. That's it, you know, but life's not about me. And so I kind of go back to ask the question, instead of why me, why not me? If I'm equipped with friends, if I'm equipped with the knowledge on how to deal with a situation, if I'm equipped because I've been through it before, and God can be honored and God can be glorified, and there's someone sitting, like Donna said, in a house with the shutters pulled, that I can say to you, listen, your hope's in Christ, and you can have a fresh start in Him by saying, I don't deserve happiness. I don't deserve joy. It's something that God gave me through Jesus, and I just need to accept that, and I need to accept who He is. And, you know, that's the Christian message. And I'm not knocking other religions either, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, ground unicorn horn and sprinkling on cold spaghetti. And, I mean, you can find all kind of stuff
amazing,
out there.
Yeah.
You know, I say that facetiously, but, you know, especially if you start researching cancer, some people have come to me and said, you know, why would you even do treatment? You know, well, God arranged that. And there's just an amazing story after story of how God set that up. And my breast cancer advocate with the Pardee Breast Center is Christy Starlin. She does a fantastic job. Mm. I walked in there and sat down, and my wife and I spent years as she was in our youth ministry at Mud Creek. And I've seen Jesus a few times. I know I saw Jesus there.
Wow.
And as she was speaking, and God arranged, providentially set all that up for her to be sitting there. And, you know, how do you know whether to go to, you know, Spartanburg or go to, you know, this place or Asheville or Hendersonville? You know, again, that's God sets that up, and that's kind of where we were. And I don't have wisdom. I have to ask God for wisdom, like James says. And again, it's letting Him rule. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I shall not want. He is the shepherd. He is in control. He's in charge, and I've got to submit to that. And that's so tough every day, especially as a man with pride and, you know, I got this. No, I don't. I've got to die. I've got to die every single day of my life. I'm going to start preaching.
Well, there's another potential bad, I think, of in the Internet. You get a prognosis, you know you've got a problem or you need a surgery, and you begin reading. And overall, it's a good thing. The more information we get, the better.
Right.
And we can actually help the process of with good information of asking good questions and getting the best possible treatment. But sometimes what it leads to is fear. We get in the Internet sites and we read about all the bad outcomes that can happen and so forth. Donna, whether it's fear from that source or another, do you have suggestions for those who are dealing with fear in their lives right now?
Well, I guess I'd start by just saying fear is not of the Lord. So I would challenge you to consider your thoughts. I even encourage people to write them down. Sometimes we can see things more clearly when they're written black and white in front of us. Write out exactly what you're thinking and what your fears are, and then look for some scriptures to back that up. I mean, you're probably not going to find scriptures to back up your fears. You're probably going to find scriptures that are contrary to that.
Right.
So then you're going to go about replacing them. And I believe that's the process of renewing and transforming your mind, that our mind can take us down a dark path that can cause us to be emotionally unstable, very discouraged. And we have to go about replacing those thoughts, those fears, with truth.
Amen.
And that, is what you're seeing Mark do.
Yes.
That is why you hear so much wisdom coming out of his mouth right now, because he is in a trial. He has had times that have been dark, that have been discouraging, but he is seeking to replace that with truth. And that's why I encourage people, no matter what trial you're in right now, I know that you can hear some encouragement out of Mark. I want to encourage you to embrace your trial the way you hear him embracing his. Because that's where wisdom comes from. That's where healing comes. And this will be, one day, a situation Mark will look back to and say, I never want to go through that again. But for what it has taught me, I wouldn't change it for anything. And so whatever trial we're in, if we can embrace it and cooperate with what God wants to do through it, it can be an amazing journey for us.
It's a very good word.
We don't learn through the really easy times in life. We learn through our trials.
And I've watched, and I know you guys have too, you know, my prognosis is good. You know, I feel good. I've got a long journey to go. I've got one more chemo treatment and 33 radiation treatments and looking to finish up around Easter. But it's good. But I also, and God's grace is evident in that, but I've also watched people diagnosed with and given 3 months to live or given a year to live, and their grace is just as bright as my grace, and God gives it to them. And, you know, because you're sitting there, I think it was like what Donna said, you know, if I start talking about it, I'm, you know, you're sitting there and you just can't imagine going through this, and I couldn't do this. Again, I repeat myself, you're right, you can't. That's where you have to die. And Jesus gives you the strength that you need to be able to go through that and be able to handle that. And, you know, as you're walking through that valley, you don't have to look 5 years ahead. You don't have to look 5 days ahead. You know, you can make it 50 seconds. You can make it 5 minutes. And he will give you what you need, the strength to do that, even if it is facing something that the world would say, you know, that's unfair, or that's such a tragedy. Death is real. I don't want to be depressing on a New Year's Eve, but all of us are going to die. You know, and I counseled a guy a couple of years ago that just was so upset and so mad at God. I mean, physically shaking, mad at God. And I said, no, can we share with you? He hasn't shared with anybody. He said, God took my 82-year-old grandma. And I want to be sensitive to that, but, you know, we've got to prepare ourselves that people will pass away, that we are passing away. And again, our home is heaven and our hope is Jesus Christ. And if we look to other things that, you know, a lot of things are set up to try to reverse that. You're trying to outrun cancer, trying to outnutrition cancer, trying to do all this, and you miss the journey God has for you because you're trying to do it and you're trying to overcome it when you need to let God do it.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that we can tend to have this attitude that life goes on forever, but then if asked the question, what will happen to the several billion people that walk the earth right now between now and 90 years from now? Well, they'll all be gone. That's right. A little wake-up call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all face a new world around the corner. If you're just tuning in, this is The Vital Connection. And our title is A Fresh Start as we enter the new year. We have Donna Gibbs with us and Mark Honeycutt, both on staff at Mud Creek Church. And we want to invite you to call in. If you have a testimony, a question, or a comment, it's a 693-WHKP. So what we're basically saying, Donna and Mark, is that for a lot of us, we see trials and we turn those into denials. We act like, this isn't happening to me. I'm going to put on a happy face because I don't want to burden anybody, you know, and I'm going to get through this. I'm just going to white knuckle it. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. And that actually is a sign you and I are not fine when we do that. I like what C.S. Lewis said about fear. He said, take, Donna, you mentioned writing it out in paper. He said, take your fears and go ahead and play it out in your mind with the worst possible scenario and then ask, how could I make it through that with God's help? Because you can. And then realize it's probably not going to be at all the worst possible. Our minds will play games and stretch things out to far beyond what reality will will bring us. It's special because God is with us in it. He's going to bless us through it. But we need to get beyond denial, don't we? We need to say, God's in this trial. Are there any favorite scriptures for either of you that you've used in counseling or you've found for yourself that have really helped you realize God is in this, even though it's hard? Any favorite scriptures that might bring to the listeners?
I'm going to say Psalm 23.
Can't beat that.
Just meditating on that. Isaiah 41:10, the book of Job. You know, just absolutely incredible story. And I don't think anybody listening out there has been through what Job went through and how God glorified himself and restored him. Galatians 2:20, you know, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's Paul. And Paul didn't pray that one time. He prayed it every day. And if Paul had to do it, you know, we've got to do it. Speaking of fear, because I want you guys to help me, in Psalms 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Sure, my wife and I had a conversation. Is fear an emotion? Is it a reaction? You know, and I think that's something that needs to be talked about and discussed. Is it a choice? You know, what is fear?
Donna, I think you're on the spot.
Thanks, Mark. Maybe it's both. I think it's definitely almost an instinctual reaction. We're frightened. We have an adrenaline rush. You know, our bodies respond, fight or flight. But I also think that there's times when we experience fear unnecessarily. Our bodies might even have that rush. Our body can't tell the difference of whether we're driving up on a scene out on the interstate where we're going to need the capacity to do something beyond ourselves, or whether we're just thinking some destructive thoughts that are creating fear. Our body can't tell the difference. So I think maybe it's both. But I'll go back to that same method of, okay, let me really examine what my thoughts are. Do I have a legitimate fear? Do I need this adrenaline running? Or am I being deceived by something?
Right.
But I want to also reflect back on your question about the scriptures. There is a favorite scripture that I have because I deal every day with people in dark places. And a scripture that I come to so often with them is in Isaiah 43. It's verse 18. God speaking. And he says, forget the former things. Now he knows that physically we're not capable of erasing something. We can't just bring on amnesia. But he says, forget the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. And how fitting for a day like today. Tomorrow is the beginning of a new year. And something very symbolic for us as we think of a fresh start. And he says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Streams in the wilderness. That God's saying, I need you to choose to let go of some things because I'm preparing to do the impossible in your life. But then he says, but are you going to miss it? And we will if we don't let go of some things. And if we're not willing to just be honest about what we're dealing with in our life, if we stay stuck in denial, then we're going to stay stuck in the past and we're going to miss so much of what God wants to do in our lives. So when I think of a scripture, that is just a powerful word for me.
Amen.
Wow, thank you. I'll throw in just one from James chapter 1. Sometimes we wonder when things come into our lives, we analyze, we dig deep in our hearts. You know, is this my fault? Is this my sin? Is God angry at me? What's going on? Is this discipline? Is just part of being in a cursed world? And James 1 says, rejoice when all kinds of trials come your way. And I summarize now, he says, because this is the way you're going to grow. But the Greek there for all kinds of trials means basically this. You may not ever know the source. You don't have to figure it out. You can trust God anyway. You know, Mark, you probably really don't really know exactly all that God is up to in what you're facing with your cancer.
Right.
But you know he loves you and he's going to use it for good. That's the promise. So you can rejoice. And that's what I see in your heart. I just thank you for your life, your testimony. I'm sure it's easier now than the first time you went through it, but you're rejoicing. And that doesn't mean always being happy, does it? It means having a confidence that God is somehow going to use this for good.
Right.
Just a few minutes left, and I would like us to bring some concluding thoughts. We haven't dealt with a lot of things. We haven't gotten much into depression, into the idea of masking our pain, self-medicating addictions, and there's a lot we could cover, but we have to wind this down now. Donna, I'm going to first ask you this way. As you think about people out there and all the kind of things they face, and yet this is a chance for a fresh start, what words of encouragement can you give people? What word of hope that, you know, whatever you're facing right now, it might be an addiction, it might be depression, it might be the fear of the future. How can they have a fresh start?
I think God always gives us a way out. There's, you know, if it's an addiction that we're facing or a broken relationship, there are many that are going through the pains of that right now. There is a way out of the pain. Some of that pain is just normal, and it is overwhelming at times. But I also think of something you were just saying in regards to Mark, that Mark doesn't know everything about why this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage people many times, focus as you're starting over on what you know. It can be very overwhelming to focus on what we don't know.
Right.
The unknown creates significant fear and can be disabling to us. So you focus on what you know, and it may be very little. Write it out. This is what I know that I know that I know. And some of that can just be scriptural or biblical truths. Some of it may just be practical knowns about the situation. Focus on that, and you take it one day at a time. Some days may be one moment at a time.
Amen.
Good word. Just keep it simple.
Yes.
And keep our eyes on the Lord, right? Bring it to Him in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, your testimony says a lot to us, but we need some final words from you to encourage us. There's not a person listening who, if they're honest with themselves, who's not facing a trial, temptation, a doubt, a fear, an anxiety, something that's keeping them awake at night or making it hard to get out of bed in the morning. Give us a word of encouragement, brother.
Acknowledge your sheep, which is tough. They're dumb. and you study them. I mean, they're just dumb. And I know that's not very encouraging, but I don't end there. You know, as a sheep, you're following your shepherd. And if you can picture that loving shepherd holding you, you know, walking you through that valley. And if you don't push away from that shepherd, if you don't let fear and anxiety overwhelm you, the word says that you will get through that valley. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's you're going to learn things that you wouldn't trade for gold. I mean, David says that, I think it's in Psalms 141, that, you know, I've learned these lessons, I wouldn't trade them for silver and gold. And you're going to learn those lessons, and you will get through. And it'll be, but while you're going through, make sure to encourage others. Don't turn inward. That's such a natural reaction when you're hurting, is to turn inward, to start keep encouraging other people. And if you're seeking God, you're going to find God in people. The God resides in His church. His church is made up of people. So you got to get around them. You got to find some people that will help you through, that will help you hold on to the hope that you have in Him.
Thank you. So here we are, coming into New Year's Eve. We're thinking about maybe making a fresh start and some big resolutions, big promises to ourselves and God. And sometimes we fail. In fact, some of us tonight will feel a little guilty about the things we didn't fulfill from last year. I recently went on a website and pulled up, I encourage you to do this, I Googled Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. He made 70 commitments. He was, I think, around age 20 or so, I forget, but he made 70 promises to God about ways he was going to live. They're incredible. They're deeply challenging. But ultimately, he found, is a great man who helped bring revival in our country, something we all need to find. It's trusting God through Jesus Christ to guide us, to empower us, to strengthen us. It's about Him, not about us. We hope you can join us next week in Vital Connections. We focus on the idea of really surrendering to God. We have with us the author of The Pursuit of Holiness, Jerry Bridges. His book has sold more than 1 million copies. And what he has to share may actually change your life and mine. So God be with you, and may he be with us all as we enter this new year with a bright hope and a fresh start. Thank you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening, and if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.